At Rural First, we're the leader in rural construction loans because we don't work here. We work out here. We live rural, which means we know just what you need to build rural. Our dedicated team of loan specialists works with you throughout the construction process. And with our digital tool, you can manage your project all in one place. That's how Rural First gets you closer to what matters. Rural First is a registered trademark of Farm Credit Mid-America. NMLS 407249. Equal housing lender. Loan subject to approval and eligibility. Other terms and conditions may apply. Visit ruralfirst.com for more details.
As Fish and Paul Bunyan Country winds down for another year, our final Lake of the Week and part one of our final two-part series with Northwest Regional Fisheries Manager Henry Drews, his annual end-of-the-year State of the Fishery. It's coming up next on Fish and Paul Bunyan Country.
I'll turn the lake into a big old mess. I never use less than 20-pound tails. If you're fishing with me, you're fishing with the best. And if you're not, ooh, yes, girl, soon you're gonna be. I catch more fishes than the seagull birds. If you all ain't fishing, you're a bunch of nerds. Cause the fishes all tremble at the sight of me. Cause I'm fishing Paul Bunyan Country! Country!
Fish and Paul Bunyan Country is presented by Northland Fishing Tackle. Well, the season is wrapping up, so as always, we wrap it up with Henry Drews, the Northwest Regional Fisheries Manager in the Bemidji office. We're actually in his closet office these days. Henry, welcome back to the show.
Good to be here, Kevin.
Well, let's just kind of recap what the year's been like for you guys. I mean, there's so many people that have been operating out of home, and I know a lot of the DNR people I've talked to, I have been calling their home numbers because that's where they've been based out of.
Yeah, it's been a strange one, Kevin. You know, we are still primarily working out of our homes, teleworking, but in June we did get approval to have our staff, work in the field, you know, with all the precautionary activities, you know, that you need to take, need to consider. And then they got the approval to get out in the field in June, and we started doing lake surveys. So all of our field staff who work primarily in the field got to resume some level of normalcy, you know, come June. So we've been out doing lake surveys and stream surveys and habitat assessments, and the field staff are pretty glad to be out there.
Okay. And we'll talk a little bit about maybe some preliminary things you may have heard through the grapevine regarding that. But you had to make or are in the process of having to make some big personnel changes in your office because of a couple of retirements of some key area leaders in the past.
Oh, I've lost since October, three of my seven field offices supervisors retired: Gary Barnard in Bemidji, Doug Kingsley in Park Rapids, and Dean Beck out of our Glenwood office, which works in Douglas County down around Alexandria. And those are some heavy-duty shoes to fill. Haven't not been able to fill those positions permanently yet, but I've had the assistant area supervisors at those stations, you know, reallocated to be acting area supervisors. And, you know, they had pretty good tutelage with the supervisors that they worked under for lots of years. So they're keeping the wheels turning. They're doing a great job, but I do look forward to being able to fill those three key positions permanently here in the near future.
I know that there's a process, and it takes time to do the process to get the right people there. Is that process taking even longer due to COVID and all of that stuff?
Well, yeah, the state is under a hiring freeze with very little state employment positions being posted and filled. So there's still that holdup. Once we get the green light to post and fill those, they should move pretty smoothly. We can still do interviews, whether it be virtually or in person in small groups, large room setting. But right now we're waiting on the approval, and the governor is being very, very cautious on letting state agencies fill vacancies, because of the uncertainty of the impact of the pandemic on the state budget. So I'm guessing it's going to be a slow go up through the first of the year, and then hopefully we can get the green light to move on those positions early in the year, and hopefully have folks in those positions permanently well before spring operations. as you know, Kevin, those three employees who you've interviewed, two of them extensively over the years, and then probably Dean Beck and Alexandria not so much. Three of them, 100 years of combined experience to the state of Minnesota as fisheries managers, and all been involved in some really remarkable projects. I miss them dearly, but I do know, I hear from all of them, they are enjoying their new careers just as much.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Definitely glad to hear that. Good guys, they deserve to have a great retirement. Well, as we started the year, Henry, we were talking about the good signs we could see with the increased license sales. And as this summer has played out, from everything I have heard from the guides that I talked to, they have definitely seen an increase in, A, their business once guiding was able to be opened, and, B, just angling in general. Those purchased licenses have been used this year.
Oh, absolutely. We saw it right out of the gate with, when the trout fishing opened in the southeast, before the inland walleye pike season. We saw unbelievable crowds trout fishing, in late April down the southeast. Then the opener rolled around and the license sales were going strong, and it continued right through the summer. The accesses have been busy. I've been on a lot of lakes this summer myself. And I tell you, there's people out every day of the week on every lake I've been to. In terms of the hard data, last official statistics I saw were in July, and we were running 10 to 15% ahead of last year, and probably in the top five of our license sale years, over the last 20. I would expect that those numbers probably have held up, and that we are a well above normal and maybe not a record year, but probably it's still in the top five for the last 20, 25 years. So people are out, they're enjoying it, and it's a good thing.
It is a good thing, especially if people behave themselves out there. And I've heard some reports more on the camping side of people not understanding how you're supposed to treat a campground, but I haven't heard too much about on the lake being an issue of people misbehaving out there or just not knowing any better. It seems like everything's been fine.
Yeah, I haven't heard any reports to the contrary either, Kevin. The one thing I did hear is that, around the 4th of July, and this wasn't anglers, but it was recreational users, were still crowding up heavily in those traditional party spots, like on Star Island at Cass Lake or Party Cove down on the Alex Chain, And after those events, we saw some COVID spikes. So, the anglers, they're doing their thing. The accesses, I haven't noticed any issues there with litter or bait in the parking lot or any of that. I think our anglers are pretty darn good conservation stewards, and they're just excited to be out having fun.
And they definitely deserve it. Hey, we're just getting started with Henry Drews. We'll have more with Henry later and, of course, tomorrow as well. But up next, our final Lake of the Week with Nate Olson out of the Detroit Lakes Area Fisheries Office. This is Fish and Paul Bunyan Country, presented by Northland Fishing Tackle. Fish and Paul Bunyan Country is presented by Northland Fishing Tackle.
Lake of the Week Day, Lake of the Week Day, Lake of the Week Day, holy cow!
Hey, it's Lake of the Week Day. Once again, we are headed over to Mahomin County and the Wavin area to check out, this time, North Twin. Nate Olson, once again, from the Detroit Lakes Area Fisheries Office with all the details. Nate, welcome back.
How's it going?
It's going pretty good. So North and South Twin Lakes cross the road from each other. I've seen a lot of different Twin Lakes before. A lot of them are named North and South because they're close, and A, they're pretty close in size and they look pretty similar. But oftentimes they have significantly different fisheries. What about North and South Twin in Mahomin County? Are they similar to each other or are they different?
They're fairly similar, kind of bass panfish type systems. I would say if you're looking for walleyes, South Twin is probably a better one to hit up. North Twin just doesn't really seem to have that history of having decent walleye numbers.
Okay. You noted the panfish. I see that there's some crappie and bluegill in there. What can you tell us about those?
So we did the survey in 2019, so last summer. Mm-hmm. Black crappie abundance, similar to past years. Some decent, really nice fish, a lot of like 9 to 10 inch fish. but also fish that were up to 13 inches as well, you know. So there's some better crappies to be had while you're fishing out there.
And what about the bluegills?
Bluegill abundance has been kind of steadily increasing since the 1999. So if you were to look at a graph, it's kind of been just steadily moving up and up since the late 90s. And, you know, if you're looking for nice bluegills and you got a choice of going to North or South Twin, I would choose North Twin for bluegill size.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, just a little bit different, a little bit better size than South Twin. We got a lot of good numbers from 7.5 to 9 inches. And then we also had fish over 10 inches, you know, and so that's really good. Something really nice to see in your length frequency is just how many fish you got. If you're even seeing fish over 10 inches. But yeah, it's definitely something that people should be looking for. And remember to try to, you know, practice selective harvest, you know, don't be specifically going out there and trying to take out all as many tens as you can.
No kidding.
But there are definitely some really nice fish there that people can find.
Now, are those lakes going to be part of that the bluegill task force they have going on?
No, we haven't. The Quality Bluegill Initiative that we're looking at, those regulations. It's a big jump for a lot of people down in Detroit Lakes here. And so we've started small with about 5 lakes that we're going to look at kind of to evaluate public perception and stuff this fall. And, you know, if we've got really good buy-in and people are excited about it, then we can look at expanding in the future. But right now, North and South Twin really aren't on the table at this point.
Okay. We talked about South Twin earlier and really nice size and good bass numbers. What about North Twin?
Yep, also pretty decent numbers there. You know, at least during our survey, we didn't see, you know, like in South Twin, we had some fish that were over 20 inches. In North Twin, we just saw fish that were around 17. Not to say that there's not a 20-incher or bigger out there. You know, there still probably is a bigger bass that's in North Twin, but for the most part, they're around 17 inches.
Okay. Like South Twin, appears to be an awful lot of northerns in North Twin.
Yeah, we had another record abundance. You know, South Twin, we saw record numbers last year. Same with North Twin, record numbers. We're looking at like 18 pike per gill net, which is really astronomically pretty high. And it really can cause issues, you know, with trying to do some walleye management and other things out there. A lot of fish that were like 18 to 24 inches long, you know, not super great. We did see fish over 30 inches. You know, so, I mean, people might run into some bigger pike, but a lot of those fish that are underneath that slot for our new North Central Northern Pike reg of 22 to 26. So a lot of small pike, just be aware of while you're out there fishing.
Okay. And as you noted right off the top, not a great walleye option.
It's got about, you know, White Earth Natural Resources. The White Earth Tribe has really been continuously stocking the lake with fingerlings. A lot of times they do it annually. Sometimes it's every other year. Just depends on what kind of fish they have, you know, from their walleye ponds. But definitely, you know, a lesser abundance in North Twin than South Twin.
Okay. You noted last time that both North and South Twin do have zebra mussels in them, so something to be aware of when we're out there.
Yeah, it was last fall. They were some people pulling docks and lifts out and found some zebra mussels, and so kind of a new spot, you know, to be aware of. I mean, everyone at all times should be clean, drain, and drying as much as possible. But this is kind of a new hot spot in the area that people should be aware of.
Okay. So I'm looking at, over the lake survey, and I'm looking at the the access types. And this is what it says about the access. This access is low, wet, and not used.
Yeah. So if you're looking at getting into North Twin, your best bet is to go to Pinehurst Resort
okay.
on County Highway 4, you know. So call ahead, make sure that they got room for you there. Grab a burger while you're heading in there. I mean, that's usually the way that we even access the lake. So,
okay,
that using that private access is going to be your best bet.
Okay, well, that was not a ringing endorsement.
No, it is not. You know, and if you're looking for, I mean, both South and North Twin are fairly, you know, they're not super developed or anything like that. But North Twin does have probably less development than either of the two lakes. So if you're looking for a more undisturbed spot, North Twin is probably your better bet.
Okay, that sounds great. I love lakes like that, and I love lakes that have a lot of panfish and northerns in there, because when you take kids, it's a little more active, which they kind of need.
Oh yeah. I mean, if you can get anything to bend the rod, you know, hopefully that's going to keep their attention for as long as possible.
All right. Any other than the zebra mussels, anything else you're concerned about on North Twin right now?
No, I mean, we coordinate with White Earth Tribe to do invasive species stuff, to do fish dock, all that management type stuff. You know, so they've been a great partner to work with, and they really kind of keep or do a lot of the management on North Twin, while we do a lot of the management on South Twin. But all in all, they're two pretty good lakes that people definitely could take advantage of, especially, you know, if you're one of those people that like to fish and then have a burger or something afterwards. That the Pinehurst Resort there is a great amenity in that area for people.
As one who's not been to either of those lakes, if I had to guess, though, I would guess that South Twin probably has a little more pressure than North Twin does.
Yeah, I would think so. You know, especially with the public access that exists there. Your assumptions are correct. You know, most of the time you're going to see probably more pressure on South Twin than on North.
And Nate, once again, if we're looking to get over there, what's the easiest way to find these lakes?
You know, if you can look at a map, you know, again, using, you know, sort of Itasca, I mean, you can come from, Highway 200 if you really want to, or if you're coming down, you know, from south of Itasca on 113 and then jump up on County Highway 4. Either way, you're going to want to get to County Highway 4, which splits the two lakes in half.
Okay. Very good. It is our Lake of the Week, North Twin in Manoman County, across the road from South Twin, generally in the Waubun and Nadewash area. Nate Olson from the Detroit Lakes Area Fisheries Office with all the details. Nate, hey, thanks for taking the time today. Appreciate it.
Yep. Have a good year.
This is Fish and Paul Bunyan Country, presented by Northland Fishing Tackle. Henry Drew's my guest, his end of the year State of the Fishery. Henry is the Northwest Regional Fisheries Manager out of the Bemidji office. And Henry, sounded like, as usual, there was plenty of fish being caught this summer.
Yeah, you know, by all accounts, it was a good fishing year. You know, out of the gate, the walleye fishing was pretty darn good, and it stayed good right up through the 4th of July. We only had a couple lakes that we were doing creel surveys on, one of those being Red. We had record summer pressure on Red. That walleye bite held up right through the 4th of July into probably the third week of July, which is a little later than normal. We also did a creel survey on Wabadoo and Little Boy Lakes down, you know, south of Walker near Hackensack, and we were seeing record angling pressure on those lakes too. Fishing stayed really good for just about everything up until that really hot spell we had there,
mm-hmm.
when the water temps got up into the 80s, and then it got a little tough. The walleye bite, you know, started to tail off on a lot of the small, medium-sized lakes, and if you wanted to catch walleye, you pretty much needed to fish at night or go to one of the premier larger lakes. And then it cooled down a little, and I think things picked right back up. And as your guides have said, fishing's been really good in August.
It really has. And again, even with the increased pressure, plenty of fish for everybody. Anything out there that you've heard this summer that's concerning at all?
Well, you know, nothing big. You know, we avoided, you know, because we started to cool down, we avoided the summer kills that we started getting worried about in early July when we were in the 90s for that long stretch of time. You know, I haven't seen water temperatures in the mid-80s around here in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were starting to get a little worried about winter kill, and it was also very calm during that middle part of July there when we had that heat wave. So those are the situations that can really crank up your summer kills. particularly talking about whitefish and suckers and ciscos. But we got some wind, we got some cool down, and then we got the rains, and that helped cool the surface waters down. And I think we averted any serious summer kills out there. There was a few. I saw some fish on Lake Cava, Cavacona, some whitefish floating last weekend when I was down there, but, you know, not much. So we averted that. Disappointing news, some of the new zebra mussel finds that were out there. You know, that issue just keeps marching on.
Yeah, it does. you keep hearing that every year, and it's frustrating, particularly that since I think not everybody, but there is certainly, I have heard more than once, I've heard people say, well, it's going to get everywhere eventually. Not necessarily. And so, you know, that's why we keep telling people to be vigilant and keep checking. Really, the vast majority of waters still don't have AIS at this point. The big ones with big populations of boaters, they've kind of been hit, but there's a lot of lakes out there that haven't, and we got to keep that in mind.
Yeah, vigilance is a word, and do our take our personal responsibility to clean our equipment and drain clean, dry, and not move the other stuff around. And there will be more waters. There's no doubt. It would be naive to think we can stop it completely. But if we do our best, we can keep some of this stuff out of waters. You know, and that's what the responsibility we have as anglers and boaters.
The short term, you know, what we've been able to see short term, it certainly doesn't affect the walleye populations or fish populations that we've been able to tell at this point. You know, we won't know the complete picture for a long, long time. But it certainly changes their behavior. It certainly changes when they bite. It certainly changes where they hang out.
Yeah, it's very early in this grand experiment called zebra mussels, you know. There isn't a lot to go on, and we're learning more every year. You are correct. We haven't seen any major indications of population, you know, decline on a large scale. We do see the water clearing up and people needing to shift how they fish for walleyes on a lot of lakes, Cass being a prime example, and we'll probably see some of that on some of these other lakes. We are starting to detect some decline in walleye carrying capacity in some of these lakes where zebra mussels have been present for, say, 10 to 20 years, 15 years. And we don't fully understand that, but some of these lakes that we're supporting, you know, very high walleye gillnet catches, either through natural reproduction or stocking, are now, you know, kind of stepping down a notch, and they're not quite as abundant as they once were. It's not a reproduction issue that's happening. It's more of the abilities, how many of those adult-sized walleyes can those lakes sustain. So it's early in the game. We're evaluating that and tracking a lot of lakes to see if that's true or not. But that is something, you know, we'll talk about in the years ahead.
Okay. Overall, though, the populations across the board look pretty good for all species?
I think so. You know, this as the summer went on and the walleye angling shifted to the bass and the panfish and then to musky fish, and, you know, I think it's been very solid reports all around. You know, this type of summer is a bass fisherman's dream in the North Country, you know. Bass like water temperatures in the upper 70s. They're very active. They get top water. You know, they're a lot of fun to catch. So the warm summers really favor bass fishing. It also favors pan fishing when they set up on the deep humps and the weed edges. And you can really have some fun with those large bluegills fishing them a little deeper. And I heard lots of good reports from pan fishermen too. Crappies get a little tougher in the middle of summer. Folks are starting to find them near their wintering areas again early this fall.
Boy, I tell you, and I've heard, you know, good walleye reports. I've heard great bass reports, great sunny reports, good crappie reports. So as far as the populations go, it sounds like every species is, right now anyway, doing between okay and really good.
Yeah, you know, I didn't hear a lot about northern pike this year.
I didn't either.
You know, hot summers become, you know, those pike seek out cool waters, and especially the larger pike. and they become a little more difficult for the average angler to catch when they get squeezed into looking for those cooler spots in the lakes. So that's probably the only species I didn't hear much about this summer. But, you know, we're getting good compliance with those new regulations. We're just a couple years in. So hopefully that regulation over the next 6 to 8 years starts working its magic.
We're just getting started with Henry Drews. He's back tomorrow for the final show of the year as we continue to recap this year and look ahead to the future. And again, even though we're wrapping up Fish and Paul Bunyan Country for the year, Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors starts next Thursday. It'll be weekly. We'll have a fishing report each week, plus other outdoor news and information as well. Hope you can join us for that. In the meantime, have a great day.
Now we're going fishing. Paul Bunyan Country.
At Rural First, we're the leader in rural construction loans because we don't work here. We work out here. We live rural, which means we know just what you need to build rural. Our dedicated team of loan specialists works with you throughout the construction process. And with our digital tool, you can manage your project all in one place. That's how Rural First gets you closer to what matters. Rural First is a registered trademark of Farm Credit Mid-America. NMLS 407249. Equal housing lender. Loan subject to approval and eligibility. Other terms and conditions may apply. Visit ruralfirst.com for more details.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.